This is the Taranaki Museum Oral History Program, an interview with Mr. Goodwin, and who's visiting here from New Plymouth at the moment. Today is the 30th of July, 1997. We're recording on a Sony WMD6C cassette recorder using Sony ECM144 microphones. The interviewer is Mary Donald, and this is tape one. Mr. Goodwin, it's really nice for you to agree to be interviewed while you're here visiting us, and I believe what we're actually looking towards is your involvement in parks and reserves in Taranaki. But before we get deeply into that, could you tell me where you were born and a little bit about your childhood?
So I was born in Waimate, South Canterbury, in 1912, 13th of February. And I grew up in the down country out sort of gorge from Waimate, but educated in Waimate. And it's almost impossible to say just when, but my memories go back to 1916 when I was about 4 years old and I just cut my finger off with a broken bottle, but some of the other things that one recalls have been repeats from other people, but I was growing, as a four-year-old, I was growing hyacinths, just a few hyacinth bulbs in the garden, and before the end of the war, a soldier overseas with whom my mother had sent clothing and cake and so forth to during the war, First World War, he sent back a bulb from England by post. It was completely shriveled and totally useless in itself, but it happened to be one of the bulbs that produces little offsets at the base of the scales. Lilium testaceum. And that was my first experience with lilies, following on from the hyacinths. And then, as a five-year-old, I grew sweet peas. My father helped me to get the ground ready, and I grew sweet peas. And later, in my school days, I always had a fence just covered with sweet peas in the spring and early summer. The tour buses used to stop just to see the sweet peas on where we lived.
Were your parents good gardeners too? Were they keen gardeners?
My father was about as keen as one could be as an amateur. And he grew fruits, apples and pears and peaches, the larger fruits. He grew cherries, small fruits. He always had plenty of fresh vegetables for the house. And then he had a good lawn, and he always had a seasonal display of flowers, whether it was a spring flower and then followed by summer flower bedding, or whether it was perennial plants. But he always had a garden, and was always never happier than when he was in a garden. But perhaps, I don't know whether this is relevant, but he came from Auckland, and his father was inspector of schools, the first inspector of schools for Auckland. But my father developed asthma, and instead of going for a banking career as it was anticipated that he would, he had to take to the country, and he grew plants, he grew melons and things like that north of Auckland. But the asthma was pretty severe at times, and so he moved southwards and he worked with cows and Waikato, and even passed through Pukekura Park on the way to the Christchurch Exhibition of 1906. And
where was that?
Pardon?
Where was the exhibition?
Christchurch.
Christchurch, the Christchurch.
In 1906. And he found that in Christchurch he was free of his asthma. And throughout his life, any time he came north of a line drawn across Christchurch, the northern part of Christchurch, there are people more subject than apparently to than the south. And down in South Canterbury, I was quite unaware until I was in my secondary school age that he ever suffered from asthma. But a visit to Auckland, and after a week, 10 days in Auckland, he'd be completely convulsed with asthma.
Just for the record, because been talking about your father and his gardening, what was his name?
Percy.
Percy.
Percy Goodwin. No, he only had the one Christian name.
Mm.
He was born in Tauranga in 1879, when grandfather, just when the Education Act became effective, and from teaching at a private school at Thames, the gold mining town, he became involved with the new school system and was headmaster of Tauranga Central School, and became the first person in New Zealand to be prosecuted for administering capital punishment. And the magistrate told the boy's father that he was doing what his father should have done, and dismissed the case. It's recorded in the Auckland papers.
So you were nurtured right from the start in the gardening environment.
Oh yes. There was a big gap between my grandfather and my father, because grandfather died before I was born. And so we didn't see very much of the family, even because we lived in the South Island. And in those days it was pretty slow travel. Travel from Littleton overnight and
by ship.
But the first thing my father worked was a Canterbury Farmers Co-op, at serving the farming community as delivery man with a horse and a pole wagon in the early days, and later was a chain wheel drive truck, and then finally was a normal truck in the 20s, and or the earlier of the normal trucks, pneumatic tired trucks in the 20s, and then he became the postmaster for the district as a little office in the store, and then later he also carried the management of the country store, quite a busy place in those days, and particularly during the First World War in the 20s, as I can remember. We had a railhead. There's no sign of that today. I was out there recently, and there's a remnant of the old engine sheds, all that's left of the branch line that doesn't even go to Waimate now. It's the main trunk line goes through Stubborn Junction.
So did you spend all of your childhood at Waimate?
Yes, actually out in the Wire Downs, which was the country district, the rolling down country. A different atmosphere really to the flatlands stretching out from the Hunter Hills. But I was tucked in behind the Hunter Hills, and the winding roads and the rolling country were fascinating. And the farming community are always pleased to see somebody, and I travelled around with the mailman or the the grocery delivery man. The mailman was three times a week. I think the grocery man was once a week to each of the districts. And then I'd be given different jobs to make pocket money. And the first one was burning couch, cultivating the ground and raking up the couch with harrows and horses and harrows. And then as it dried out in long rolls, we'd set fire to it and burn it up.
A never-ending job, I should think.
Oh, well, I don't know. Most of them prefer to reduce the couch as much as possible and then plant it up in good type of grasses for forage.
Mm.
And they just closed it off when it got too weedy. That's what the general practice has been, I think, with most farmers. And it all becomes uneconomic. But I studied wool classing, and I learned to shear when I was quite young.
Where did you study wool classing?
Pardon?
Where did you study wool classing?
Waimate. It was organized in those days by the Farmers Union, it was called. And there were two farmers organizations, and they joined together, and we run the classes in the technical school, it was called, and we had to come in from the country on Saturday morning to attend the classes. But we also had the opportunity to get back out into the shearing sheds in the back country. I'd back into the Mackenzie country, was laid in behind where the answers is the Mackenzie country.
And how long did it take to learn to class wool? And what sort of, was there a certificate you got, or for, did you have to pass an exam to say that you could class, or?
Yes, the instructor came from Timaru to Waimate, and he had wide experience both on the sheep stations and in the wool scour at Temuka. And we had the full term, more or less, I suppose it corresponded to school terms. I can't remember exactly now. But and then towards the end of the term, we would just actually be sort of isolated and have a separate test. We'd have a mix. I've got a very proud possessor of a 96% pass and a 100% pass.
Right.
Yes, he said he couldn't separate us. It was an old stockman and stud master, and myself were granted the 100% one year in our second year, or my second year. And but I always had a very keen eye for the detail. In fact, that detail in the classifying of wool was quite helpful in technical botany, in the classification of plants. And I knew my plants more by sight than by running through keys or anything like that. I catalogued them away in my mind and memorized them. And that again led on from the wool classing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Valuable skills.
Yes, I suppose so. I found that after a certain time, I think most people reach a capacity in which they're able to recall a large number. I suppose I might have stopped at about 4,000 or 5,000, I don't know. But recall the names, and then my favourite saying was that the ones that you're least familiar with go out the back door and the new ones come in the front door, and you retain that balance I actually had a better memory for plants than I did for people's names. I could recognize people by their features and forget their names. Sometimes I remember their names by the fact that they had a certain plant.
Yes, association.
Yeah. Yes, association with a strong memory and the detail and that sort of thing, as association does help in the recall. No doubt about that. Now, I used to say I'd get to Genesis first and then but lately I've been forgetting the Genesis even. And I'd get somebody else to prompt me. But that's... I always said that to my wife, if you remember it in the middle of the night, don't wake me up to tell me. Write it down. Write it down. I find that after a while, sometimes recall is comparatively quick, other times it's getting slower all the time. Well, I've been retired for 20 years, so actually out of touch with plants. Except for a few things that I kept for myself. That's only a small part of what it's possible to learn about. Plants and maybe crops.
Did you do much in the way of botany at school?
I had a mixed science course at secondary school. It was a district high school in Waimate in those days. And I was actually one of the first pupils of the full high school when it was fully integrated. But it had been a district high school, a notable district high school for 50 years, I suppose, from 1982 to 1929, anyway. Not quite that long, but... I've really lost the track of thought.
You're talking about your schooling in high school.
High school. There was we had dairy science and agricultural science, and we had just the general principles of botany and that sort of thing. And amongst the older books, one teacher had quite a few books on advanced studies in botany up to MSc level, and I carried those books. I was able to obtain those books, and I carried them for years on plant physiology and advanced botany.
Did you always know what you wanted to do?
Well, the idea was that I should follow in grandfather's footsteps and become a school teacher. But then, at the beginning, I left high school, or was due to leave high school, in 1930, just right on the beginning of the Depression. And both Christchurch and Dunedin Training Colleges closed. They closed earlier than most other classes. So there was no chance of getting into teacher's training. I know some of my associates carried on at secondary school and did an extra couple of years gained entry to teaching. But I don't really know. I think that underneath I wanted to get out and work with the land. And I worked on quite a lot of farm operations, and I learned to know and understand most of them, and both the arable farming and the sheep husbandry and those sorts of things. And the dairying, I got to have the smattering of them all one way or another, because I was keen. And then then when during the Depression, I worked in the harvest fields and worked on farms. I never wanted for a job. I was always able to get a job during the Depression, which I was more fortunate than others, but than some. But I was able, being single, I was able to travel and even went into gold prospecting at Latago, and from that led me into the orchard business down there, and then I came up to Nelson and I worked in tobacco and hops and fruits again in the Nelson area. And then seasonally I would go back down south again and do some wool classing, and then the wool classing followed into the harvesting. And then in the early 30s I decided to go to Christchurch and see what I could do in the way of horticulture. And I think that was about the time as I made up my mind. But I had a chat with the men in charge of the parks in Christchurch, and there were quite a number of the older men who'd carried on working during the Depression years, I suppose, I don't know, there were some fine old tradesmen who had a wonderfully broad knowledge, a depth of knowledge that was rather, well, comparatively rare, and I gained a great deal from just following around their nursery or their gardens or their whatever it might be. There was some that specialised in tropical plants and others that specialised in roses. And then the Nairn's nursery was a big nursery in Christchurch. And
so Nairn, N-A-I-R-N.
Yeah.
Was that any relation to the Nairn who was doing gardening here very, very early? It was a Nairn, can't remember what his Christian name was, and he was a horticulturist here in New Plymouth.
Yes, I'm not too sure about, I would think they probably were, because as I understand it, they were related to the Nairns of the desert transport in the Holy Land.
Right.
And also with the local ones here.
Right. Because they were responsible, weren't they? There was one of the Nairns who was responsible for planting the trees at Ratanui.
Yes.
I think. Am I right? I can't remember.
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
George Hull would be able to confirm that, I think.
Yes.
I've been retired so long.
Yes. Anyway, I deviated you the conversation from the gardens in Christchurch and how you were talking with people, and you decided to.
Well, in the Christchurch, I had every little opportunity to work, and I had work breaking in sections. In one place, and a piece of ground behind the brewery, a little brewery, where I used the hops for improving the soil, and I grew just the common lettuce and cabbage and cauliflower plants, and sold them for a few pence a bundle.
This is during the Depression.
During the Depression, yes.
So your training, did you go to a college? Was there a college, or did you do an apprenticeship, or how did your training occur?
Well, it's rather remarkable that I didn't go through any of the set procedures, which in those days was the Christchurch Botanic Gardens or Dunedin Botanic Gardens was the two leading ones in the country. And I did approach the Christchurch people about work, but they couldn't place me at the time as I went there. And I worked with a distant relative who had a cordial manufacturing business. And the peak season, I worked for him. Working was a, well, was the bottling and the distribution of soft drinks throughout Canterbury. And, I haunted the botanic gardens and the weekends, and quite a few private gardens I used to spend time in just to learn about the plants and so forth. And then Mr. McPherson, who was in charge of the botanic gardens while I was there, actually, he had an inquiry from a Mr. Shrubson, who was a nurseryman and had a shop sales in Castle Street, for a head gardener for a sheep station. And from what they'd heard, they thought that I would fill the bill. So I went up to Waiau in the Amuri County, which is a more or less an isolated county up on the tail end of the Nelson Province, but with main access to Christchurch, Canterbury. And I spent 3 years up there, and it was there that I took a correspondence school in horticulture. Of course, it was organized by David Tannock and Dunedin Botanic Gardens, and with the assistance of the university down there. And so I went through their course, and rather than, well, I don't know that there was too much else that was available. Anyway, I made inquiries in Christchurch and over the time and time again at different people. Surprising how many of them came back to me. Clary Jones of the Kohai Nurseries, he had been trained in Christchurch and also at Kew, and he had developing a nursery in St. Martin's, Christchurch, and he sent a message to me to say trainee was going to leaving for Kew, and would I like to take on the job of art nurseryman salesman. And so I went down to Christchurch. Well, that immediately put me back in where I could contact the university people and the gardening people, and again, just that much advantage. Some of the well-known names of those days was Charles Fowler, 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 he had headed the School of Forestry, the first School of Forestry, but he was then, in my time, he was botanist, was Canterbury University. And I studied dendrology with him, and then Lance McCaskill was with a training college, and he was later professor at Lincoln, and he was an exceptionally energetic man, a very strong conservationist, and after my friendship with him was just invaluable and spontaneous, which really thrilled me and gave me all the encouragement. Otherwise, I was a little bit shy about sitting exams or doing anything, really, I suppose. Oh, still am, as far as some of those things are concerned. I'd just as soon keep in the shadows, but... And do you have a break?
Yep.